News flash out of New York City. Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, announces the league will change its conference setup for next season.
Oh, yeah, okay, you've heard it before. We're not going to be breaking any news to you here on a podcast that you're probably listening to in January of 2016. But that's okay, because Chris Withers and Jason Carillo are never ones to be embarrassed about being late to a party. So here we go. Pucked in the Head looks at the new alignment of the NHL. Hello, my name is Jason Carillo, and I'm here with my friend Chris Withers. We're here to talk about conference realignment. Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fine. Why do you sound like a commercial for some sort of self-help product?
It's because I feel like I'm walking on air. I'm riding a cloud right now. I'm feeling really good about life and about hockey and, well, just
do you have a case of don't have to see Minnesota six times a year itis?
Yes, yes, I do. I'm so happy that the Vancouver Canucks will not be subject to Minnesota Wild, what's the word I'm looking for? Suffocation. Six times per season. You know what this means, though.
What does it mean, Jason?
We are doomed to meet them in the playoffs for a seven-game series where every game goes into overtime.
Well, at least we don't have Dan Kluche in goal this time.
Well, then it wouldn't be seven games, and it wouldn't go into overtime. Just saying. You know how I feel about Mr. Kluche.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even get me started there, because I'm in a good mood.
All right.
All right. So, of course, the big news this week is the Board of Governors met, and they decided to actually do something about some teams that dislike the travel schedule and playing out of their time zone all the time.
Yes. Last offseason, of course, the Winnipeg Jets moved from Atlanta, and the NHL decided they were going to keep them in the Southeast Division for one more year, which is plainly idiotic.
I'm looking at a map of North America right now, Chris, and I don't know if you've noticed this before, but Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, isn't even remotely close
to the Southeastern United States.
To the Southeastern part of the United States of America. I don't know if you've noticed that before. I'm just looking at a map right now. It's practically smacking me right in the face.
It doesn't earn the name Winterpeg or the nickname Winterpeg by chance. It's rather cold there. It's fairly easily distinguishable from places like Tampa Bay, Florida,
which are in the Sun Belt, the Sunshine State.
So the Board of Governors got together.
Yes, they did.
They decided a change was needed.
Speaking of getting off topic, Chris, did you know, have you ever noticed that the Board of Governors sounds like it should be a ring of villains on Batman? This week on Batman, he fights the Board of Governors.
No. You're such a nerd.
I am a nerd. Hey, you're the one who earlier was saying that we should sort the teams of the NHL into the four houses of Hogwarts.
I did no such thing.
Yes,
I merely pointed out that somebody else had already done that and that it entertained me.
And the fact that you recognize and remembered that both the Vancouver Canucks and the Boston Bruins had been sorted into Slytherin makes you just as big, if not a bigger nerd than me, mister.
Fine. Can we get back on topic now? Is this permitted?
All right. Conference outline. The NHL, in their infinite wisdom, the Board of Governors, first of all, has decided to move the teams from its current six-division, two-conference format into a four-conference format where there would not be an East and West division when we're actually looking at playoff format as it currently is.
Right.
So they have not named them yet, which is wound up being a very entertaining thread on Twitter, which we'll look at. But currently, they are called Conference A, Conference B, Conference C, and Conference D.
Brilliant.
Those are not letter grades, as in high school. Only moderately less imaginative than Pacific Division, Northwest Division, and so on. So in Conference A, this is the westernmost conference. We are looking at the Anaheim Ducks, the Calgary Flames, Colorado Avalanche, Edmonton Oilers, Los Angeles Kings, Phoenix Coyotes, San Jose Sharks, and the Vancouver Canucks. So those eight teams would be in a single conference.
And we then have the former Central Division, all five teams, Chicago, Columbus, Detroit, Nashville, and St. Louis, are going to be joined by Winnipeg and the Dallas Stars to form the Midwest or the Central Conference, if you will.
All right, currently known as Conference B. Right. Conference C is a little bit of an interesting one because it really doesn't have a geographical basis, as do the other three. But this is basically the old Norris Division, or Northeast Division now, Boston, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto, being joined by the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, what the hell happened there?
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
All right. And finally, Conference D, also known as the Subway Conference, Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Washington.
Right, and luckily for those guys, pretty much all the other teams are within walking distance.
I think that's actually one metropolitan area.
Yeah, Okay, so you brought up an interesting question a moment ago. What the hell is going on with Florida and Tampa being grouped with this otherwise northern group of teams?
Well, I don't know if Gary Bettman has actually come out and said this outright, but there has been a theme in promoting divisional rivalries. That was one of the big inspirations for this change. And I don't think that the NHL wanted to break up Pittsburgh and Washington.
Well, Pittsburgh and Washington aren't really together because they're not currently in the
same
division.
They're not now, but well, you know what? Let's outline for our listeners what the schedule format is going to be.
Okay, so scheduling right now, the way it is, basically, teams only play one game against teams in the other conference.
That's right.
Each season. So you could go 2 years without seeing Pittsburgh come into your building, for example.
You usually do.
Yeah. And so, for example, recently the New York Rangers came to Vancouver. A lot of people made out a big deal that the New York Rangers have not won a game in Vancouver in 12 years. And it turns out that that was only five games.
Right.
So it's kind of ridiculous. In the NFL, it makes sense. In the NFL, they have a weighted schedule that goes by what your record was last year, and there are only 18 games a season, right?
16, 18? Only 16, right? Yeah.
A handful of games every year. You can't play everybody every season home and home. Impossible. So it makes sense. You've got teams that haven't played each other in 8 years. Fine.
Right. But in the NHL,
not
so much.
82 games a year. That's just dumb. And finally, they've actually realized how dumb that is, that there are arenas in the league that don't see Alex Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby for 2 years at a stretch. Crosby, because he's been out, it'll be 4 years between appearances in Vancouver.
So now they've sort of gone a little more unbalanced in some ways than they were before, but they have ensured that every team plays every other team at least once home and away.
Right.
So what you're going to do is you're going to play every team outside of your conference home and away. And then you're going to play the rest of your games. I assume they're going to keep an 82-game schedule.
That is what they are saying at this time.
But they're going to make up the balance of those games by playing within your conference.
Right. So you're going to, for example, the Vancouver Canucks are going to see more of teams like Anaheim, San Jose, and Los Angeles, because now they are in the same conference, where before they were in a different division, so they only played three or four times a year. Now they're going to see them 6 to 8 times a year each.
Yeah, I think like it'll be around 6.
On the other hand, they are going to see every other team in every other conference twice per year.
Yes.
Once at Rogers Arena and once on the road.
So the way that the schedule is for this year, you know, you're only playing one game, possibly two, against teams from the other conference. You're playing 4 times against the other divisions in your conference, and you're playing 6 times against your own conference. So as it stands right now, I mentioned, you know, Sid versus Ovi, they're playing 4 times a year.
Now they will play 6 times a year.
And now they're going to play 6 times a year.
Which is a wet dream for the NHL.
Exactly. And I think that was one of the reasons that they went with that weird alignment.
There's a quote here from an article on NHL.com written by Corey Massasak. I'm sorry, Corey, if I've said your name wrong, because I know you're listening. It says that there's no perfect fit for the 14 teams currently in the Eastern Conference that are not named Winnipeg. So it's impossible to make everybody happy. But basically, there were a lot of teams that were worried about breaking up the rivalries. So the solution was that they would not break up the Atlantic Division. Instead, they would break up the Southeast Division. If they were strictly going by geography, then they would have broken up the Atlantic Division instead. But then you'd be losing either, say, a New York-New Jersey rivalry, or you'd be losing a Philadelphia and Pittsburgh out of that New York State arrangement.
I don't necessarily disagree with their reasoning. The only slight quarrel that I have is it really lowers the travel for that Conference D that includes the Atlantic Division with Washington and Carolina.
Right.
Whereas the Northeast has to travel, you know, the height of the continent, if you will, north-south. They've got to travel all the way down to Florida.
Which, I mean, I personally don't see a problem with that because, oh, no, the Toronto Maple Leafs have to make the same trip the Canucks do.
Oh, no.
That's just too bad.
That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying that they could have balanced it a little more so that the Atlantic teams had to fly down to Florida, whereas the Northeast teams had to fly down to Washington and Carolina.
But then again, the NHL wouldn't have 6 times of Ovi versus
exactly
Sid, right?
Honestly, I think they've done a pretty good job overall.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of this is going to be moot, or at least partially mooted.
Mooted.
Did I just use moot as a verb?
You did.
It'll be partially mooted by the fact that the Florida Panthers will probably be relocating to either Quebec City or Hamilton at some point in the future anyway.
Well, they're probably going to go somewhere, but
so once that happens, then it's only a matter of relocating Tampa.
Tampa's got a pretty good fan base.
I didn't say relocate the franchise. We could simply relocate them in the division makeup.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So what we have here now, looking at playoff format. Okay. So dun, 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 that's our signal that we got to go into another chapter of the podcast, you see. Basically, the top 4 teams in each of these new conferences will make the playoffs. Okay. So what we're looking at is we're looking at the potential for example, you could have a Montreal-New York final. You could have
more interesting to
a
our
Vancouver-Chicago
yeah.
final.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be something. Honestly, I don't know if I could stand it.
It would be tough. If the players didn't kill each other on the ice, I think the fans would certainly kill each other off the ice.
It's I don't know how I could if I could do that.
So what they're doing is they're going back to the way that the playoffs used to run in the 1980s and the early 1990s, which is each division, the top four seeds are going to qualify for the playoffs, regardless of how teams do in the other division, other conferences.
Yeah, so you could conceivably have a 22nd place team, 22nd overall in the league, could conceivably make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that has sparked some debate since the announcement. A lot of people are concerned that it increases the probability that a team will make the playoffs at the expense of a much more deserving team.
That's entirely possible. It's certainly possible. And that's, again, one of the reasons I think that they chose the alignment the way they have. Because if you were to take the conference C, for example, and take Boston, Buffalo, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, and instead of adding Tampa and Florida, you added the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils, for example, or you added the Philadelphia Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The way the teams are right now, that's six good teams in that of that seven-team division.
Well, hang on just a second. Florida right now is in third in the Eastern Conference,
again,
and Tampa is just
games
out of the playoffs.
It's 25 games into the season. Florida is not going to be there at the end of the year. No way. No way. We both know that.
I don't think they win the division, but you know what? The start has earned them some chatter. I think that they might be, you know, in the mix at least. They could push for an eighth or seventh spot.
All right.
The point Chris. that I'm making is that
I'm rolling
I don't,
my eyes at Chris right now.
Yeah. Well, what else is new? I don't think that they took into account the current strength of the teams at all, because that changes on a yearly basis.
And that's why I honestly think that doing it based on quote unquote division rivalries the way they currently are is short-sighted. Because if they were looking at long-term, what creates a division rivalry? It's created by geographical proximity. It's created by playoff battles. It's created by history. As soon as you change, if you add Philadelphia and Pittsburgh into that division C instead of Tampa and Florida, you can bet your ass there's going to be some pretty good rivalries there built quickly. If you've got the Leafs playing against the Pens or the Flyers six times a year, those guys are going to beat the tar out of each other. It's going to be a great rivalry. Way better than Toronto, Florida.
Who's to say that a really great Montreal-Tampa rivalry won't emerge, though? Like you said, it's the rivalries are born in the playoffs. Okay.
True enough.
Now, there's only seven teams. So four of these teams are going to get in. It's not going to take very long. It's only going to take a few years before these teams are duking it out with each other in the playoffs.
Exactly why they should all be geographically based instead of based on current rivalries. Your argument just supports my point. It's only going to take a season or two to develop those rivalries. The Chicago-Vancouver rivalry that everyone's so hot and bothered about, it took 3 years to build, and 3 years only.
I think it probably only took 2 years. But I'm sorry, I don't understand your point. Why does it matter whether you've got the Pennsylvania teams playing with the Northeast? I mean, that Florida and Tampa have to play somewhere.
Right.
Rivalries are going to develop somewhere.
It does not make sense to have all the divisions. I've actually circled them on the map. Okay. And three of these new conferences have geographical proximity to each other. That fourth one with Ottawa and Toronto, but then jumping down to Tampa and Florida, does not fit the same pattern that the other three do. Now, obviously, in the West, we have more travel because the cities are spaced apart
Okay, there's an aberration. Those teams had to go somewhere. How does it make any sense to put New York with Tampa Bay?
Well, it makes more sense to have two of the northernmost teams in that Division C go in the division with Montreal and Toronto and those guys, as opposed to having this one division that has a leapfrog. All three of the other divisions are a geographical unit. You can see why they were put together. It's sensical. It actually makes sense because, honestly, the way that the NHL does geography normally seems like a Dr. Seuss story, and that's the one remnant of it, is this Conference C does not make sense. Everything else about this plan, I like. It makes sense. The way they've done Florida and Tampa, at the expense of keeping the Sid-Ovi rivalry together, is, I think, a disservice to some of the other teams.
Well, I disagree. They had to break something up. They chose to break up the Southeast. I don't see a big deal there.
Well, they still would have broken up the Southeast.
No, they wouldn't have.
They broke up the Southeast when Atlanta moved to Winnipeg.
Okay, but I mean, the four teams that were remaining in the Southeastern United States, Washington, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida, those four teams were the ones that they chose to break up. Right? They split them in two.
Right.
Washington and Carolina went one way, Tampa Bay and Florida went the other.
Doesn't make sense.
But if the goal here is to enhance rivalries, why would you choose to break up existing long-standing rivalries like those in the Atlantic Division?
So which ones are we breaking up exactly? If I waltz in and I put Philadelphia and Pittsburgh in with the Northeast teams, yeah, what am I breaking up?
Well, you're breaking up Philly and the Rangers. I'm sure they're quite heated about their rivalry.
That is a good one.
You're breaking up Pittsburgh and Washington, which is a good rivalry.
Pittsburgh and Washington is not a current divisional rivalry.
But they play four times, right? And the dilemma that the NHL has was, do you lower a set of games between two different teams to two, or do you increase it to five or six?
Which they've already done with Vancouver-Chicago, which they've already done with Vancouver-Detroit, which they've already done with San Jose-Detroit, with San Jose-Dallas, moderate one there. But there are some pretty good rivalries there, too. Even LA-St. Louis has a lot of history.
I don't know. I don't see the problem with what they've done.
All right. Well, there is every reason that we can just agree to disagree.
All right. So just continuing with the playoffs a little. Continuing with the playoffs, it's going to be 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3 in every division. And then there's a little bit of debate what's going to happen after the second round. It's not for sure yet, but the assumption is the teams are going to be seeded once they win their division.
Conference. Yes, that's what seems to be the consensus so far, is that teams will be reseeded after they win their conference. So they won't be seeded beforehand. So you won't know which conference you will have your third round against until all four winners are decided. And then whoever has the most points has home advantage, and that's now the new number one.
Right. The NHL is taking a calculated gamble here, because there is no chance that they can have an entirely West Coast Stanley Cup final.
Why not?
Because all the West Coast teams are in one conference.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, the closest that we could get would be, for example, an LA-Dallas final.
So they are taking the chance that they could have a Stanley Cup final between two teams that are currently in the Western Conference.
Chicago, Detroit versus, say...
Yeah, they're taking that chance because it's not going to be as good of a draw, depending on which two teams come out.
On the East Coast, it won't be.
On the East Coast, right, which is where the majority of the viewers are. But the upside for the NHL is that they are opening themselves up to the possibility of an all-Eastern Stanley Cup final. You could have Boston against Pittsburgh.
And here's the argument for why, if the Pittsburgh-Washington rivalry is what you were trying to save earlier, here's the reason why it wouldn't be bad to split those guys up. Because wouldn't it be awesome to see a Sid versus Ovi final or a Philadelphia Rangers final?
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it's, you can make that argument about a lot of teams, and you know, any way you split it, there are arguments to be made like that.
So basically, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I give it a big thumbs up.
I give this a thumbs up. I'm really looking forward to the names for the conferences, though. I think this is. I know it seems minor, considering the actual alignment looks good. For the most part. I don't like what they've done in Florida, but that aside, the alignment looks good. The playoff format looks good, I think.
Gary Bettman took a lot of heat back in the early to mid-90s for stripping out a lot of the history of the NHL.
1994.
Yes, it was 93-94.
Yeah, I just checked before we started the podcast.
Yeah, that was the first year when the old names of the conferences and the divisions were stripped away.
So no Clarence Campbell.
For our listeners who haven't been around that long or who weren't watching hockey back then, the conferences used to be called the Clarence Campbell and the Prince of Wales Conference.
We still have those names on the trophies that are awarded in the East and the West. Yes. For the eventual, the third round of the playoffs. The team that wins that wins the Clarence Campbell Bowl and the Prince of Wales Trophy.
Yes.
So those names are still around, but it'll be interesting to see what happens to those trophies now. But yeah, those were the names of the conferences. The names of the divisions were the Smythe Division, which is currently the Northwest, the Norris Division, which is essentially the Central Division, right?
Norris...
The Norris Division was Detroit and St. Louis.
Yeah, and Chicago, I think,
those
was in
teams,
there.
Yep. The Adams Division, which is now the Northeast.
Yeah, with Toronto and Montreal, et cetera.
Patrick Division, yes. Which was the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Now, those there were only four of them. They needed to add two more when expansion took us to 30 teams. And they were trying to even up the number of teams instead of having 7 and 8 teams in a division.
And Gary Bettman, who was a... disciple of David Stern in the NBA, decided to basically follow their model and go to the Western and Eastern Conference and to just name the divisions geographically, which is what the NBA had done.
Now, one of the things that they were trying to get away from at that time was having 7 and 8 teams in a division, in a division. They wanted to limit the number of teams in an individual division. And now they've gone back to this 7 teams in some conferences and 8 teams in others. 4 teams in Conference C and Conference D will make the playoffs out of only 7 teams. Does that give C and D, does that give those teams an advantage?
Yes.
Because statistically, there are fewer teams to take those 3 or those 4 playoff spots.
Correct, yeah. The Canucks have longer odds on making the playoffs than the Toronto Maple Leafs do.
Well, let's be frank. The Canucks have a lot better chance of making the playoffs than the Leafs do.
Okay. Well,
maybe long, those were the wrong teams to use in your example.
Long term. Long term, any team in one of the 8-team conferences.
So statistically, as opposed to realistically. Okay. Statistically, the teams in conferences C and D have a better chance of making the playoffs in any given year because there are only 7 teams.
So there's been a lot of talk, some rather amusing talk, about what the divisions are going to be called.
A really nice Twitter hashtag called NHL Conference Names.
Yes.
My suggestion was Athos, Porthos, and D'Artagnan, and the other one from the Three Musketeers. Because we read as well. That was my suggestion. I got 4 retweets.
I would go a little more lowbrow and go with Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and Moe.
Well, there's also Larry, Curly, Moe, and Shemp.
Who is Shemp?
The Fourth Stooge.
Okay. I'm not up on my Stooges, I'm sorry.
Well, there was the switch at one point. Larry Curly Moe and Shemp.
All right. You're old.
Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer.
There you go. As you pointed out, from the Toronto fans' perspective, Toronto, not Toronto, not Toronto, and not Toronto. One suggestion gaining a little bit of traction is to name them after hockey heroes that have played for teams in that conference. So, for instance, Gretzky played for Edmonton and LA, so why not name that conference the Gretzky Conference?
I have no problem with that. That would leave the Detroit Conference to be the Howe, named after Gordie Howe. We would also have Bobby Orr giving his name to the one with the Boston Bruins, of course, and Lemieux.
Mario Lemieux, yeah.
Mario Lemieux giving his name to that last conference. The only thing is it too early to be doing that? I mean, Gretzky just turned 50. Lemieux is younger than that, and he's still involved in team ownership.
Yeah, well, they're all still alive. The only concern that I would have, I think, is that Lemieux is still an owner of the team. The optics of that aren't great, but,
right,
you know, you could find somebody else who played for one of those teams, I'm sure.
Well, I don't think they're going to, you know, they're going to name a conference after, you know, Rick Kehoe or somebody like that. It's probably a Mike Gartner, maybe. I don't know. Although I think he might even work for the league. But anyway, I don't mind that so much. I mean, I certainly think that Gretzky should have his name on something. Perhaps his name will go on one of the conference trophies, perhaps.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't mind that at all.
It's going to be fun. I like when things are shaken up on a major scale like this.
And most of the things they're doing here actually make sense.
They do, yeah. It's going to be a lot easier on a lot of teams, and it's going to be a lot more balanced with the Eastern teams having to come out to all of these markets at least once a year.
Yeah. No, overall, I would give it a thumbs up as well. And I hate to say it, but this is one thing that Gary Bettman and his cronies have gotten right. For the most part.
All right. Well, it's been a fun chat, Jason.
It has, a little bit longer than we had originally expected, but I'm sure with the magic of editing, we can get it down to a respectable 37 hours.
I'm sure. All right. Well, you take care.
Cheers. Someone couching the lane. I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain. But I'm climbing, I'm climbing back on the train. I can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon. I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main. But I'm alright, it's just a red wine. It's all too normal now. Where once it seemed so strange, time for a change. Yeah, and you know what? It's a lot of this is going to be moot, or at least partially mooted.
Mooted.
Did I just use moot as a verb?
You did.
It'll be partially mooted.